We want to take time to greet every single person who's joined us through television or through the web. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you taking time out of your week to join us right here at Healing Place Church. We want you to know you're loved. Anything we can do to serve you, we've got people that want to pray with you. We've got people there that would minister to you. And we want you to know you are valuable and that you matter to God. And I believe God's going to speak to you during this time, whether you join us through media, through television, through the internet. We want you to know that God cares about your life and what's happening. Church, why don't we clap our hands for all those who have joined us today. Thanks a lot for being with us. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke, to the book of Luke. We're kicking off a series called Home for the Holidays. Home for the Holidays. This is part one. Home for the Holidays. It will take several weeks. I'll unpack this thought of what it means to be home for these holidays, what it means to be home for Christmas, what it means to be present during all the opening of the presents. We're going to talk about that, and I believe God is going to speak to each of our hearts. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 51. Every year his parents, speaking of Jesus, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. This was a strategic time for a young Jewish boy who'd be 12 years old. Everyone was required to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so when Jesus became 12 years old, like they'd done every year before, but this one was different. When you read many scholars about this, they would say that when a boy would turn 12, that was his kind of coming of age. That was the time for his ceremony of becoming a man. So he may go to Jerusalem as a boy, but he would leave as a man. So things are different. This is a different time. So they load up, and as everyone went to Jerusalem, everyone showed up, as well as Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the others. It says, after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, that would be okay if it was planned. So he stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. I want you to get that. Thinking he was in their company. They traveled as family, as groups. They went from one area, they would all go together for safety and just for provision. It's like us when we go out with all of our family. We come out of the restaurant and our kids want to ride with their cousins, or Dylan always wants to ride with Papa. So, oh, go on, Lord, have mercy. We'll have a quiet time riding home. I mean, yeah, take the kids. I mean, that's how life works. And so it's not normal for our kids to travel with relatives in this life. But it says they were unaware of it, thinking he was in the company. They traveled on for a whole day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and their friends. And when they did not find him, what do you think of it? They could not find him. You could imagine that. Joseph says to Mary, they finally get together. It's been a crazy day. Did you bring Jesus? I thought he was with you. No, he wasn't with me. Don't put that on me. I saw him last with you. No, he wasn't with me. He was last. Where did you? Just imagine that moment. Think about that moment. Looking for Jesus. Jesus is not with them. So it says they go back to Jerusalem and they begin to search, look for him. After 3 days, stop there for a moment. 3 days. You know, it's interesting. Luke is the only gospel writer that includes the story. History tells us that Luke was a physician. There are even some scholars that believe that his specialty, he was a pediatrician. Because many of the stories he talked about dealt with children, and he had details about children. So it's interesting that Luke is giving the details here as that doctor kind of flow. And he describes this. He says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, this is so cool, "Why have you treated us like this?" Ain't a mama here to understand that moment. Now, some of you like, "Pastor, I don't know if I'd have used that expression. Because I'm not like Mary. I got issues." But, I mean, why have you treated us this way? "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And the first recorded scriptural words of Jesus: "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's house?" And King James says, "I had to be about my father's business." You know, I think it's amazing that those are the first recorded words of Jesus. "I had to be about my father's business." He had the business of his father to tend to. The last recorded words of Jesus is, "It is finished." See, he had an assignment to complete. He started the father. I know what it's like. My dad wanted me to take over his business. So I know what it's like to have it. So Jesus was minding the business. But we also know that Jesus finished the business of the father. It says they did not understand what he was saying to them. What do you mean? Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. It's a good scripture for every child. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. There are many places in scripture, for honest, when we read the story, we appreciate it. It's truth. We learn lessons. But we can't put ourselves in the moment. I mean, David running at Goliath. I love the story, but I'm not sure if I see Dino in that. When I put myself in it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm running at Goliath or if I'm hiding behind a rock. I mean, let's be honest. I'm not sure if I'm that guy. So there's a lot of stories you read that you can't see yourself in it. But this one, when you read this story, this is a story that many of you can say, "Oh yes, been there." Because you can remember a moment where this thought of, "I can't locate my child. I don't know where my child is at the exact moment." It may be 5 seconds. There's not a parent here probably who hasn't had a moment, a second, a thought where the child was with you, but then you took your eye off of it, or the child went another direction. There's that moment of, "Okay, where's that? You got it? Okay, we're good." It's counting heads. It's looking. You know that frantic. It's a frantic moment. How many knows that's a heart racing moment? That's a moment where you don't care what's going on around you. Nothing else matters. If you think your child is lost, come on, you'll knock somebody over. You'll get loud. You'll get in somebody's, "Don't touch me. My child is lost." I mean, you get crazy if you think your child is lost. I mean, you're unaware. You're not proper. "Oh, excuse me. You're not nice and kind and meek and lowly. Y'all get out the way." You'll hurt somebody if you think your child's not with you. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were at the Texas Titans game, Monday night game. We're leaving the stadium. I've never been in that stadium. We're having to go down to the bottom of the stadium, area I've never been in, of course. And it's just me and Dylan. The girls had left. So I'm going out a door. I go out the door, and Dylan's with me. I go out the door, and I'm looking around where to go. I turn, Dylan's not with me. It's 5 seconds, okay? I stand by the door. It's 10 seconds. It's 15 seconds. Heart's racing. Okay, where's that? I'm looking. About 20, 25 seconds, I'm going back in the door, but there's an usher right there. "Sir, you can't go back in this door." "Oh, no. I can't find my son. He was with me. He's on the other side of the door." "Sir, you can't go in this door." "Brother, either me and you going to go through the door. I'm getting in the door, my man. I'm going in the door." So he knew that I was getting Italian and it was getting ready to get crazy. And so I know I'm going in the door. My son's in there. He says, "Hold up." He says, "Brother, hold up." He says, "What does he look like?" I said, "He's smaller. He's got a hoodie on. It's tight." He says, "He's standing right there." I turn around. Dylan's like, "Come on, we from South Louisiana. Let's talk, boy. Get over here. Where were you? About to have a heart attack." "Well, I'm standing right here looking at you. I know. Where are you? Why were you going in the door for?" couple weeks ago, we're all leaving the church. A couple months ago, we're all leaving the church. We're going to have lunch as a family down at Rufino's. We're all left. We're at there at family lunch. And I get there, and I'm walking in the restaurant, and my son is calling me from his cell phone. Hello, what are you doing? He said, Dad, am I going to lunch with you, or are you keeping me at the church all day long? I'll be right back, guys. Just go and sit down. Everything's good. I left him at the church. I went to lunch. He's like, Dad, I can't believe you forgot me. I was like, son, it's biblical. Jesus' parents left him at the church. You need it. Go sit with Johnny and talk for 3 days. Come on, somebody. Help out a father. Some of you feel so much better about your world right now. You're like, okay, that's the pastor. I'm doing really well because he's got issues. Now, many of you know it's funny, but at the same time, it's very tragic. When moments like this happen, it's just terrible. You put yourself in her shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of Joseph and Mary. They're 4 days, 3.5 days, 4 days without Jesus. Well, how do you explain that? How do you go before heaven? Where's Jesus? We lost the Savior. He was with us. Now he's not with us. We left the God of the universe behind. It's the Home Alone scene. We left him with no one. He's by himself in a city of a couple hundred thousand leaving. So that's where he's at, God. We left your son there. And remember, they left Jesus. So you remember how at the end of our life we stand before Jesus? Okay, could you imagine being the parents who left him and you show up now in his lordship? And he's like, oh, okay, I see how it's going to be. You left me. You are doomed. I mean, just the whole thought of leaving him. In this series for a couple of weeks, we have a very simple and focused point. It's not complex. It's not confusing. We don't have 85 thoughts for you. We have one thought. The thought is this. There's nothing better you can do this Christmas than to keep Jesus in your heart and in your home. There's nothing better. There's nothing greater than for Jesus to be found in your marriage. For Jesus to be found in your home, in your parenting. When you open up the presents, make sure that you've honored and you've submitted and you've remembered the presence of Jesus. When you unwrap the gift, remember that God, through mercy and grace, unwrapped Jesus, the Son of God, to us. When you gaze at the tree and you enjoy the lights on the tree, remember that he is the light of the world. When you look at that tree, remember that there was another tree. When the kids get around the tree, remember, cherish that there is another tree that really determines our future. That's the tree, the cross that Jesus hung on. Let's remember those things. This series is real simple. It's just real focused. Keep him in everything you do. Don't go too far into the season, into life, without him. Take him with you. Don't leave him here. You know, we have expressed it as a church. We say it about every week. Mike said it this morning at 8 o'clock service. Jesus is here and anything can happen. It's kind of just a thought. It's just an expression we have as a church. It speaks of expectation. It speaks that where two or more gather together, Jesus is in the midst of them. We believe that as a church, that the presence of God is here through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the spoken word, that Jesus walks among us. He's in our heart. He's here with us. But guess what? Because Jesus is here, don't leave him here. I got Jesus. I don't need all your Jesuses. If you follow me? Take him with you when you leave the church. Don't leave him here. Don't let it be a Sunday Jesus. Let it be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When they left the temple, they left Jesus in the temple. Don't leave Jesus here, because there's nobody here once we leave. It's just a building. Take Jesus with you. As you walk through the holidays, as you enjoy Christmas, as you hang out with family, as you talk as a married couple, as you develop your children, your grown kids, connect with workers, let's make sure the simple point, the idea over the next several weeks, and really a passion for our life that's way beyond a season, is to make sure that He is with you in everything that you do. I just love this story. There's so many things about this story that enlightens my heart. I love the thought that when they discover Him, they finally find Him. And guess what? They found Him where He was supposed to be. They looked for 3 days in the wrong place, but then they finally looked in the right place. And when they found Him, I love how the parents blame Jesus. They kind of look at you like, we've been looking for you. Where have you been? I mean, how could you have done this to us? Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Jesus is 12 years old. He's looking at them like, you left me. I didn't leave you. You're the one who wandered off from me. I was here. I'm right here. I'm where you left me. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You're the one that left when you got busy and got distracted and you rolled on. You're the parent. You left me. So often in life, we go through something. We face something. We struggle with something. And we look to Jesus and we say, where you left us, you abandoned me. You're not there for me. Jesus looks at us and says, I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here for you. I'm right here for your marriage. Your marriage went on without me. Your parenting went on without me. As a single, you went on without me. Don't go on without me. Keep me in the center of every single thing you do. We don't want to leave Him, church. We don't want to leave Him. Church, don't travel too far without Him. Too much of our life is lived in the fast lane. The question is He with you? Is He with you right now? In your marriage, in your life, in your parenting, in your private life, in your public life, in your workplace? Is He with you? Guess what? He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. When I read this scripture, there are so many takeaways that I can tuck away in my heart and in my home. And I want to give you five of them real quick. Just five takeaways that I learned from this scripture that helped me in my life to stay focused and to make sure I don't go too far without realizing, is He with me? Here's the first takeaway. False assumptions can lead to a loss of what is most important. It's a long sentence, but we are smart people. We are from Louisiana. Can I have a good amen? Geniuses. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are brilliant. Doesn't it feel good? False assumptions can lead to a loss of what's most important. They assumed Jesus was with them, but then they discovered He was not with them. You know what I found out about lost things? They're not lost till you need them. When I'm not looking for something, I don't need it. It's not lost. It's when I'm looking for it. That's when it's lost. And so often in life, we go on with our life and we don't need the Lord. Well, I got this. I got this. And the Lord is replaced with busyness and with influence and with stuff and things and this and that. But then all of a sudden something happens and now we're trying to find out. Where is God when I'm suffering? Where is God when this is going on in my marriage? Where is God when I'm going through this financial thing? He's where you left Him. Did you not realize you needed Him every day? See, false assumptions can lead to the loss of what's most important. We have to check for ourselves. We don't want to guess our way through eternity. Is He with me? False assumptions. They left out of Jerusalem. You got Him. You got Him. He's good. We're all good here. We're rolling. We're rolling. And then they discovered, they assumed something that was not true. And because they made a false assumption, they lost what was most important. Happens like that in a marriage. You assume somebody thinks something that they're not thinking. I assumed you were okay. You mean to tell me you didn't know that I was mad at you? Now I'm more mad at you because you didn't know I was mad at you. Come on, can I have a better amen from all the men? Don't go quiet on me right now. It's what you're assuming that everything's okay. You didn't know I was hurting. You didn't know I was upset. You made a false assumption. You thought everything was great. Not everything's great. And if you make false assumptions for too long, you can lose what's important. We make false assumptions about our children. We make false assumptions about life. We lose what's important. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing that I learned from the scripture that I believe can help change our life. If you lost something, retrace your steps. You may find it. Do you realize he is missing? To retrace is another word, I believe, for repent. What did Jesus say to one of the churches in the book of Revelation? Return to your first love, not your 10th love, not your 20th love. Get back to the first thing. Get back to your first love. Get back to him. Retrace your steps. Sometimes we've got to go back and figure out what happened. How did we get to this point? What went on? And I need to retrace those steps and repent and go back and do those first things. So I can move forward now in my life. Because I got to look in the right place. The right place is retracing the steps. He's in the right place. You won't find him in the wrong places. You won't find Jesus among forgiveness, among the craziness of this world, among all these things. You'll find him in the right place. Retrace your steps. Here's the third thing that I learned is make sure he is with you. Make sure he's with you. For so many Christians, and what happens a lot of time is for so many lives, Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus at all. It's more about watching the sales items than it is keeping our eye on Jesus. See, he's not meant to be a part of our Christmas. He is Christmas. He's not meant to be on a gift list. He is the gift. Can I have a good amen? And these are things we know, but these are things we need to be reminded of. Many of you know these things. We talk about these things. You know this. You could tell other people about that. But if we're not careful, we can go on and it can be several moments. It can be a season of our life. It can be a time in our life where we're very busy. We've got a lot going on. And then we look back and realize he is not with us, which is trouble when he's not with us in this bizarre world that we live in. And then the fourth thing that we can learn is keep the search alive. Are you looking for him right now? Jesus asked when they showed up, why were you looking for me? Don't settle for the life caravan without the Son of God. If you go into life and this caravan of life without the Son of God being part of it, it's like you go round and round and round. It's the same way in marriage. It's the same way with our family. If he's not there, if we're not searching for him, we've got to keep searching for him. And we've got to keep the search alive in our family, in our marriage, with the romance of our family, the intimacy of our marriage. Got to keep the search alive. Got to keep searching for God. Got to keep searching for God. And then the last thing, and I think this is something that's so important, just helps us to stay focused. The greatest danger of Christmas is not knowing where he is. Where is he? Where is he? Don't know where he's at. I remember several years ago, we bought a cool little gift for one of our children, and we wrapped it and we hid it so well, we never could find it. It was a great gift. It was so cool. I mean, we spent a couple hundred dollars on it. Never found it. Don't know where it's at. We just hid it so well that it stayed missing. Over the Gustav hurricane, I got a little nervous and hid about $200 or $300 worth of cash in my closet. I still ain't found it. I don't know where it's at. I remember writing the envelope, Gustav money. It was about $250. I hid it. It's still not there. I don't know where it's at. I hid it that well. See, the greatest danger during this time of year and really throughout our life, the way we're wired, is not knowing where he is. We don't know where he's at. Where is he? Jesus says, I'm as close as the mention and the lordship of my name. I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right here. The question is, where are you? Where have you wandered off to? Where have you gone off to? I'm right here. Not knowing where he is. I love this picture in Ezekiel 34:16, talking about God speaking to us, the heart of God towards us. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. This is God speaking. I will shepherd the flock. He is looking for you. Are you looking for him? He is looking for you. Are you and I looking for him? Nothing more important than keep the search alive. Can I have a good amen?